You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Podcast SmackDown Live, a little over a week out, week and a half out from SummerSlam. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by Matt Morgan and Raj Geary. Matt, what did you think of tonight's SmackDown?
You said it best, actually. We're a week out.
Yeah.
Let me ask you as an honest question. Does this feel like a week away from one of the biggest pay-per-views of the year?
Not really. I mean, I was thinking if SummerSlam was where it traditionally is, the third week in August... Sure, but it's moved up this year. It's August 11th, so
which means bigger fireworks, bigger bangs, bigger supposedly.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I mean, it wasn't a terrible show, but it just didn't feel like I'm not excited for SummerSlam.
Yeah, Raj, how about you?
I mean, I agree with you. I didn't think it was a terrible show by any means, and I like that they're trying to draw you in with the storyline. With that little attack on Roman at the end, you know, having some mystery to kind of keep you tuning in. I thought it was awkwardly done. It felt cheesy, but I like the idea of it. I like that they're trying to do that to kind of suck you in. But yeah, I mean, Glenn, to your point, it's not even August and we're a week away from SummerSlam or a week and a half away, I guess.
One SmackDown.
It's weird how far up it has moved, because I am used to it being at the end of the, you know, at the end of August and, you know, kind of the back to school season, you know, for my daughters. But it is, I still think it's going to be Daniel Bryan that faces Roman Reigns. That was my prediction. Samoa Joe's obvious, I think some Daniel Bryan's career altering announcement and Roman Reigns' thing, I think they're tied, but we'll see.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know you predicted that. That I could see that.
Yeah. Yeah, I did tonight on Twitter, but it makes sense to me. I think it's more exciting right now than Roman and Samoa Joe just because of how they book Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and it's shame on them because it shouldn't be like that.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
We should be like frothing at the mouth to see Samoa Joe versus Roman Reigns if they did this right with Joe.
When was it? Was it a year ago or was it 2 years ago that they had started the feud and then they did the superstar shakeup and then I think Joe got moved over. And it ended abruptly, but they started having a pretty hot feud, and it just got it ended quickly.
For me, his decrescendo started after his storyline with AJ. It felt like,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he was beaten at every turn. Oh yeah,
it does matter. Oh, it doesn't matter if you win, lose. It does.
We've seen it over and over, with the exception of Daniel Bryan. It hurts anyone. And even with Daniel Bryan, I felt like it did hurt him after a while with how much he was losing. But, yeah, it wins and losses matter.
Yeah.
So we open up tonight with a video from Shane McMahon. He's feeling great. He's been working on himself. But his life coach sat him down, said he needs to relax, and he'll get what he wants. He was talking about his match with Kevin Owens at SummerSlam, saying at the end, Owens will grab a microphone, look him in the eye, admit that Shane's the better man in front of the world, and then Kevin Owens will quit WWE. Vertical video, man. That was my gripe with this promo.
So do you believe that's what's going to happen, folks? Is anybody sold on that? That's what's going to happen?
I think that's one problem with the stip is it makes it too obvious. It would have been cool if they had it, something different to where it could leave it. Yeah. You know, back in the day where they'd have if Pillman wine, Marlena's a sex slave, or, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
That they had back, but stuff that could lead to another storyline where it's plausible that it could happen. This, you know, I don't think anyone buys it. And I mean, if they do that, if Shane does win and Kevin loses, which would be stupid,
God,
to do another quitting angle that they don't follow through with, I think it just hurts your stips.
I would say I throw my TV in the pool, but unfortunately, I watch the pay-per-views on my phone, so that's not going to happen.
Right.
But I'd be very mad.
Hey, you know, new iPhone season's right around the corner. Chuck that in the pool. You'll have a new one in 3 weeks. I will say this. Didn't occur to me until just now. Shane McMahon not being on the rest of the show tonight was a huge improvement. I was wondering, I was like, yeah, it's like, what suck factor was missing tonight? That was it. No Shane McMahon.
Good word. Good word.
Yeah. So credit to Bischoff or whoever made that decision to just have him at the top of the show and then have him gone.
And I thought the live coach stuff was funny. I cracked up at that.
Yeah. Is Eric we're still playing like Houdini as far as, is he in control? Is he not? Is he still doing that?
Well, he's in control of the brand. Now, the according to the Observer, he's not necessarily in charge of the actual creative aspect as far as pitching creative ideas. But he's, you know, working as far as the SmackDown brand itself, merchandising ideas and things like that. Eric Bischoff, on the other hand, he says that everything that's been reported has been BS. So,
So what does he say? He's not
really saying. He's just saying that what's out there is not true.
Because he took a hell of a gamble to do this. Huge gamble, to my understanding, right? He left everything that he liked and loved and was comfortable with in life to come live in Stamford, Connecticut.
Yeah, he left his, I mean,
I don't think he's doing that if he's the Mike Weber of WWE. I just don't think merchandising and trying to get deals with TV companies and all these other different things. I'd like to think he's got a little bit more piece of the pie as far as his responsibilities go.
And they are getting paid well. That's been, it is not known how much exactly, but they're both him and Heyman. And, you know, it was brought up a lot on the investor call last week. So the stock market has reacted favorably. So regardless of how he does, or Heyman does, I think WWE is going to want them to stick around. If for anything, just a public perception thing that they're making these moves to improve ratings and their names that people know.
Yeah. I mean, think about your favorite football team when they had the best coach, the most winningest coach in whoever you like, the Broncos, I like the Cowboys. If I had known like Jimmy Johnson was coming back to be part of the Dallas Cowboys system.
Right.
I like that. He doesn't have to be the head coach anymore, but if he's part of the system and he has a say in something, I'm game and I'm more excited about the Cowboys, you know, prospects, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
We trust him, trust that name. And I think a lot of people, even though, you know, Meltzer and other give Bischoff crap for that, he's been out of the wrestling loop too. Eric is a very, very intelligent man and super, in my opinion, chancy and take risks with storylines, which I like.
The last time we've had a pro wrestling boom, the people in charge were Vince and Eric. So
true.
I don't think it hurts having that. I know perception. Meltzer has his feud with Bischoff. They don't like each other.
Yeah.
But you can't ignore and you can look at Bischoff's, you know, end there. And really, the end, he wasn't there. Where it really started to go down was when Russo came in. I mean, there were other things that were declining before that, but the real decline happened after Bischoff was gone. He came back for a little bit, but for the most part.
And he had these last few years to really sit back out of the business, and he got pulled in through his podcast. And I know he said this, it has some real serious, you know, it sounds corny, but introspection on himself and what things, going back in time and watching some of the things going, what the hell was I thinking? Why did I do that? It's very defensive about a lot of things, like the Sting Hogan finish, might I add. But
which still makes no sense.
you don't like Sting not having a tan being a reason.
Having Hogan pin Sting clean and then the match continuing?
Not in it, brother. What do you mean? He didn't tan today. Oh, shit. Code red. Do you know what I mean? So he's had a lot of – that's a big deal, I think. I think that might have something to do with it. And he's just a risk taker. Do you know what I mean? Like a gambler. And I think our business needs that.
Yeah. Look, he put impact head-to-head with Raw. So he'll take risks.
Which I think this business needs.
Yeah, WWE has gotten very complacent.
Yeah.
So Kevin Owens was out there at the top of the show mocking Shane McMahon for not being there, interrupted by Drew McIntyre. They traded words. Then we led to a match, Drew McIntyre versus Kevin Owens. Owens picked up the win here with the stunner, of course. Good match, some back and forth. What do you think they do with McIntyre for SummerSlam?
Probably nothing. Who knows, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't look like he's in their plans right now. I mean, I could see him on the pre-show or, you know, they did that big angle at the end of Raw. Maybe they'll have a tag team match with, you know, Drew and who was it? The OC against the Usos and Cedric or something like that. Or they could do him in one-on-one with Cedric, but.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
It's a shame because Drew, you just look at him, you know, he's
right.
He's.
But I'd rather him sit out if they don't have something good for him or something serious with him.
Yeah, I think he's been hurt by the Shane stuff a lot.
He needs wasn't supposed to happen that way, but yeah.
I mean, he needs a reboot at this point, which is tough because he was really, really coming along nicely. Like the Dolph thing didn't hurt him, but Shane McMahon did. After that match, we had, speaking of Dolph Ziggler, backstage recapping what happened last week on Miz TV. And SummerSlam against The Miz.
I do gotta say, I'm never gonna get used to Owens using the stunner. I just don't like it.
I was gonna say that as well. It's weird. It takes me out of it.
Yeah,
and I don't want it to because he's another one I was telling you about, like last night on Rudder. Some guys that you root for, so you kind of give them the benefit of the doubt, and you don't call them out as much as I would guys that maybe I'm not fans of, right?
Yeah,
Owens, I'm a huge fan of. But that's the truth. It does suck me out of it a little bit when he's doing that stunner because I'm always going to compare it to Stone Cold's now.
Right. It's not a move. Right. It's not a move like the super kick where it's just done ad nauseum. You know, it's still very tied to that character. It's like Hogan's leg drop and using that as a finisher. It's just way too tied into Hogan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but moves are moves though, right? I mean,
they are, but this is when nobody else has really done.
Yeah.
Leg drop I've done. Not as false finish as I was going to beat nobody with it. But you know what I mean? This is the stunner. Nobody done. Steve Cena tried to do it.
Right. And leg drops are done all the time. I mean, using it as a finisher. Then, you know, when you do the running bit like Hogan, then it looks like
that looks nobody like Hogan. Nobody ever used the stunner for any rhyme or reason. Not a heat spot. Not when you're working the dude's neck in the middle of the heat and something else to do real quick to work his neck and boom, stunner. Never. No one's ever used it for anything. We've never seen it except for Stone Cold.
And that kind of brings to a nice point that what's been going on it's Twitter.
People's elbow. I would argue it's one of the people's elbow.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah, yeah.
Look what's been happening.
Yeah. You know, if you tweak it like Cena, we did the five knuckle shuffle. But if you tweak it, that's one thing. But when you're doing it exactly the same and it doesn't look as good, you know,
that's what pulls me out of the moment.
Yeah,
that's exactly what pulls me out of the moment. It's not as crisp as Steve's.
Yeah.
Well, what about what's been happening on Twitter with Taz? Raj, you've been following that, I'm sure.
Yeah. Taz. I always butcher his name. Donovan Dijovic.
Oh, from NXT?
Yeah, from NXT. Yeah. So he had basically put out on Twitter asking Taz if he could use his finisher, the Taz Mission, the Kanta Hajime. And Taz said, I'm glad you asked, but this isn't appropriate to do it over Twitter. You know, this is a private discussion.
Oh, no.
But then it all worked out. And, you know, Taz said today that they did have a private discussion and Dijovic is using it. So it looks like he got his blessing for it.
Wow. Why did he ask him in on Twitter? Like publicly?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was a tweet. It wasn't a DM. I think they sorted it out over DM, but yeah.
What the? Oh my God, dude. George Hackenschmidt rolling over in his grave as we speak.
Is that just what people know now, though? That's just to them. That's, maybe no, they feel like that's a private conversation.
This normal. This can never be normal. Not in wrestling.
I don't want it to be.
Come on.
But I think this is the way things are headed.
You guys are supposed to be tough guys.
I know.
Hey,
I
guess with the stunner, it kind of makes sense. I mean, it's like if Prince would have started moonwalking in 1985, people would have been like, what the hell? I mean, there's certain dance moves that are iconically tied to one performer. So there's certain wrestling moves that are iconically tied. Cool. But I mean, with most finishers though, I mean, right. There's only so many moves.
Well, you can tweak it.
Well, Glenn, we appreciate you jamming that last analogy in there. We've already covered it. Yes. We've already ad nauseum have killed this. That it's Stone Cold's, right? Like, it's, you can't do it. It just looks awkward. And Kevin Owens is awesome and he's super creative. That's why I don't get it.
Yeah.
I do not get it.
Yeah.
He doesn't need it. He's getting a push right now, right? And he just, I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I liked the pop-up powerbomb.
Hell yeah. That thing was way better.
Even tonight when he did it on Drew. I'm like, that should be the finish. It looks good. Yes, you know, you shouldn't be clicking out of that. It looks like a killer move.
Yeah. Well, it's like Sammy with the blue thunderbomb. How is that not his finisher? He has the haluba kick, which is
I agree with that. Blue Thunder's pretty bad. Yeah.
Yeah. So after that Ziggler promo setting up ahead of his match with Finn Balor tonight, we had an exchange between Ember Moon and Bayley last week. Bayley said they're teaming up tonight, but she hasn't forgotten about the eclipse that Ember gave her last week. Said they will pull through tonight, though, but she's going to regret it if she tries to pull something again. And then we got an Aleister Black promo backstage. Oh, man.
Man, I know.
Do you guys like these? Does anyone like these?
No.
They're different.
But in a good way?
In the build of Cesaro.
Are you
rooting
for him, Naj, before you answer this? Are you rooting for him independently, privately? Are you rooting for him?
Not with this character, not because of these vignettes, but because I know what he can do, and I think he could be a top guy.
Right. So does that slant you a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Yeah. But like if this was somebody out of the blue that I didn't know and they were doing this, I'd be like, you need to stop this now.
Yes. Same way. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Raj, is that your copy of Windows 95 making sound here on the broadcast? What's going on?
I didn't think you could hear. Because Hangouts mutes when you go to the next person. So, good to know.
Just following up on that, so a little later, we got Sami Zayn saying he's going to face and expose Aleister Black at SummerSlam.
Exposed.
So Sami's going to lose this in, like, record time. This
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And as he should, with where he is at right now. It sucks because Sami was on fire just a few months ago with his promos and everything. Yep. You know, I still feel like that AEW reference was that he made. I think a wires got crossed, but Vince got pissed at him for saying it because he hasn't been the same since.
That's true.
He has a new t-shirt.
That's months in advance, dude.
Really?
At least one.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
And everyone's got a t-shirt. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean you're getting pushed.
Well, Alicia Fox, you know, like, 10 years to get a t-shirt.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Alicia Fox. You are Alicia Fox.
What's not to love about Alicia Fox? I'm just saying.
Most people on TV that appear on TV every week.
Yeah.
Have a t-shirt.
So we got Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss versus Ember Moon and Bayley.
What do you guys think about this? They were just on last night.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that? Does that, like, water it down for you between these two? Because I don't care that much about the storyline. I do, but not enough to see it two nights in a row.
Oh, here's the thing. Ember is the challenger, right? Yeah. And a week before she was made the challenger, she was beat, or 2 weeks before, she was beaten by Sonya Deville in like 90 seconds. Yeah. I don't know if you guys remember that.
I did forget, but yeah.
And then Bayley just named her, you know, her challenger at SummerSlam. So she needs, like, booking help, you know, as the challenger. And then here she is getting beat. And then after that, you know, getting suplex by Bayley. I mean, she looked like a like a loser when she's the one that they should be building up. I don't know if they're looking to add Alexa to the match or if Ember just gets her win back next week, but I just think she needs the most help. You should be spending more time focusing. Give her a squash match or give her whatever, but Ember should be getting the win here.
Weren't we just praising them putting her over? Who was it? She went over on somebody big. I could have sworn just randomly on TV like four weeks ago.
Last week she beat Charlotte, right?
Yeah, Charlotte.
I apologize last week.
Yeah, so they keep that up, but follow that with what they did to her tonight.
Do we even call this 50-50 booking with WWE? What do we call this now? Because this is worse.
It's just,
we used to get on for this like 3 years ago, I think it was, when we were like, screw this 50-50 booking. This is annoying. Right. Remember? Like, it's worse, whatever this is.
It's just trying to make you not as interested in the match, I think, you know?
Which is insane when you think about it.
Right.
Yeah, it feels like there's truth to this somehow. It doesn't make sense. It's like they don't – like they talk about everything they need to talk about except the finish of the matches.
Right.
Like they put all the importance in the storylines and their promos and who's going to work who. And then when it comes to actually who needs to win – and I don't know. You guys figure it out. I'm going to leave. Go get a cup of coffee.
Right.
They don't seem to care. I don't know.
Because even if the idea is that Ember wins the title at SummerSlam, so they still don't be beating her because you take away all her steam.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
With the exception of Becky, they haven't booked any of the women consistently.
No,
this year.
Lacey for a while.
Kind of. But she lost, ultimately.
Yeah, I mean, but she's a much bigger. She has had upward mobility as opposed to anyone
she
else.
Has. Yeah, she has. She's a big star right now.
No, I agree. So Bliss ended up winning this match, Twisted Bliss on Ember Moon, after Bayley checked on her and just dropped her with a belly-to-belly suplex out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Just made Ember look like a punk when she's the challenger.
It did.
But then Bayley with the smile, the sort of aw shucks after. I mean, in a perfect world, this would have been the Bayley heel turn many of us have been waiting for. But she just put it like, oh, I got you back for last week. Yeah. It was really weird how she played.
And therefore, that was a waste. And this is what I'm talking about. That was a waste of something that could have been semi, I don't want to say edgy. That's way too big of a word to be using with explaining Bayley currently. But, you know, a little badassness in her, a little mean streak in her, right? And then they completely whiff it away with what you just said, Glenn. What you just picked out, other fans did too watching this. That little, smile.
And and the crowd just seemed confused by it. Like, it wasn't like they were cheering her or they liked it. They were just confused. So it didn't help her at all doing that.
They want one or the other. She is not a 50-50 wrestler. She's either true blue, like, great role model for everybody on the planet, the best human being on God's green earth kind of a person, in my opinion. Or, you know, she was, and what the hell's gotten into her? This can't be the real Bayley. What is she doing? Right. You know what I mean? Or she turned heel, let's say. One or the other. You can't do this in between crap with her.
Yeah, I know they were trying to do that with Becky on Raw. You know, I mean, it was very heelish what she did, like attacking Natalya at the Performance Center or whatever, and then, attacking Fit Finley for no reason.
Yeah,
but I think they're feeling like that works for her. That does not work for Bayley.
No.
Yeah, she's got to be 100% whatever she is, or else the character is just...
I don't get what's so hard to understand about booking Bayley. I really don't get this. We want to love Bayley. Let her do her thing. Mm-hmm. Stay out of her way.
That would seem like a classic Bischoff move. Like, we're going to turn Bayley heel. It'll be like the Hogan turn all over again.
Yeah. Bischoff wasn't as bad as, like, Russo. I mean, the Hogan heel turn was the greatest heel turn of all time.
I know, and Bayley could be the second greatest, but tonight...
Oh, God, what? Careful what you say. The second greatest?
Because you wouldn't see it coming.
If they booked her correctly from day one as the baby king babyface, she could have been for them. Mm-hmm. Huge.
Yeah.
I'm just... In terms of surprises, Raj, the Hogan thing was, like, the biggest surprise ever. Bayley... would be a huge surprise.
It would be a surprise for sure.
Andre's heel turn was pretty big.
Andre's heel turn, Savage. There's been so many.
I was distraught. He went from being my number one favorite wrestler to number two because of that.
Right, yeah.
That's why Hogan became my number one.
Caleb Braxton was backstage with Daniel Bryan and Rowan. Bryan requested time to make his career-altering announcement. Caleb asked what it was, and Daniel Bryan walked off.
I'm sorry. I think it's funny.
It's
You guys are annoyed with it. I don't know. I think it's funny.
It's becoming funny. You know?
I mean, again, I've got to think this is tied in with Roman. Otherwise, how are they delivering on this?
Do you think they would just start this and not know
where they're going? It's very possible. Remember this wasn't WWE, but you remember Black Scorpion or Vince McMahon with the higher power? They had no idea where they were going with that.
They got
Kevin Nash texting himself.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's not beyond them.
Yeah. King's Court tonight with Jerry Lawler out with Trish Stratus. And this was kind of interesting. They were talking about the one more match angle. Trish talking about how she's a parent now. She's got other obligations, other responsibilities. Charlotte came out and basically shamed her into doing this match.
Well, real quick, if she wasn't back for one match, what was she there for?
That's true.
Yeah.
I wish I would have said something. She was here to do some PR. She was here to talk to her homegirl, Bailey, who she sees a lot of herself in. She could have given her the rub in that sentence. Something.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or they didn't, they made it seem, if they did something where it made it seem organic, like she's at ringside and they just go to interview her real quick. And leads to Charlotte coming out.
I don't even know why, Jerry, I'm just being played. I don't even know why you have me out here. I'm in the back talking to Bailey right now. I'm a huge fan of her. I see a lot of a lot of myself in her. And I'm just sitting here talking to her while you guys are in town. I don't even know why my music was playing, but I'm here out of respect. So what is it, King? And then King says, you know, and then Charlotte comes out and goes her into a match. No, I don't want to go. I don't want to wrestle. She goes to leave. Charlotte pulls her in the ring.
Yeah.
You know, gets in her grill. Trish smacks her. Starts to get over on her. And then Charlotte leaves her laying.
Yeah. Or Trish said no, Charlotte leaves her laying. And that causes Trish to later come back and say, you know, she won't, she'll do it.
Yes. You know. Where did Hogan say that too? What was his? Oh, Andre.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you going to fight Andre the Giant at WrestleMania? Yes.
Bleeding from his necklace. That was so great.
So they traded some words. Charlotte saying, hey, Trish, it's not your era anymore. Trish saying that Charlotte wouldn't be there without women like Lita, Jackie, Ivory, Beth Phoenix, etc. And it's on for SummerSlam. See, Charlotte's one. Charlotte is always 100% with whatever she's given out there, you know? I mean, you feel like whichever direction they're taking her in, she's really going for it. She's either, you know, sort of the noble athlete face or just the, you know, egotistical queen character, which is good. In fact, I think that's the problem on the SmackDown brand. I think Charlotte versus Trish really overshadows Bayley versus Ember, and it's going to certainly have a better place on the card. No, but but you shouldn't have that, man. If you're the champ.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. The champ. You're right.
I think it's going to overshadow Becky and Natalya too.
I absolutely do. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
That is not good. That really speaks something about how they've booked the women's divisions when this is going to be the premier women's match in all of SummerSlam.
And meaning that title, making that title mean something as well. They've not done a good job with either.
Yeah.
To be fair, that does happen all the time with the men's too, right? Undertaker's back. Yeah, or Undertaker, you know, Shawn, who's just in the main event of Crown Jewel. Those are gonna take precedence.
It's true.
Well, certainly over the SmackDown, the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. I mean, when's the last time that headlined a pay-per-view?
I can't remember.
It never happens. Okay, so after that, we got a Firefly Funhouse segment.
I was happy about that.
Yeah. Ramblin' Rabbit talking about how he's Finn Balor's biggest fan, but beware the fiend.
Yeah. This is more of the same, right? But
I know Finn is leaving, but it would mean more Bray beating Finn if he's not getting beat every week. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because they're beating Finn like nothing, which I get it. He's leaving. But if you want to build him up for Bray and build Bray to be this monster, having Bray beat someone that loses every week is not that impressive.
Yep.
Yeah. So after that, we went right into Finn versus Dolph Ziggler. Decent match, but of course interrupted by the Fiend. He showed up in the ring. He looked creepy. He disappeared. Then Finn was shook, and Dolph got the better of him getting the pin. and the win over Finn Balor.
Why? Yeah. Why?
Well, and I tweeted this in kayfabe. Why is Finn not wrestling as the Demon? I understand the real life reason why, because he's going to lose. That way, he, the Demon, and the Fiend can have a rematch. Yeah. But in kayfabe, why not?
But you can say that for every match. Why is he not? If he wins all the time as the Demon, but why is he always the Demon? But you're wrestling
a creepy character, dude. Like, you got to bring it out of you. Yeah, right. You bring your creepy character. I'm going to bring mine.
But he beat Bobby Lashley for the Intercontinental title as the Demon. And then doesn't go back to it, right? If that's winning you titles and championships, you should be doing that all the time. So it makes, I mean, that whole part makes no sense. But him not being the Demon, at least it creates an angle for when he comes back. Now, with WWE, we see all the time they forget about this stuff and quickly move on. But when he comes back in 2 months, he's taking a 2 month hiatus.
How do you forget about that, though, dude?
Right.
Like, what he's known for is that Demon character.
Exactly. Yeah. Bray Wyatt went on pay-per-view. All of a sudden, lights go out. Finn comes out as the Demon. And boom, you got your next pay-per-view. You know,
yeah. Absolutely.
A huge match for it. So I think it makes sense that they're not doing the Demon right now.
Because he's gonna kill him.
Right. I mean, and he should. Bray should just beat the ever-living crap out of him.
Yes. Because, again, he's wearing a mask. We don't know what that's going to look like in a full-scale match. So you know what? Give us another month or week of wondering, can he wrestle in that mask by not giving away a full match if he can't wear that mask in this match? Don't do it now. And let it be just a kill match where it's 30 seconds and just kicking the crap out of him where he doesn't have to do much and gets to keep the mask on. Right. That mask is money.
Mm-hmm. Or here's an easy kayfabe way to do this with Finn. Have him on a winning streak, which is what they should have been doing, and then have him be cocky like the beginning of Rocky III, like, oh, I got this in the bag. Don't worry about it. I can face the Fiend as Finn. Have him lose, and then when he comes back, he has to reach deeper for the Demon. It all makes sense. But instead, he's been punked out so much that, of course, Bray's going to kill him.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not how WWE does things when someone's leaving for the most part.
Yeah.
Unless you're Dean Ambrose.
Even then, he was getting killed by Drew McIntyre. They'd make him look good with the Shield, but you know he was getting beaten by EC3, Drew.
You should not even be in a WWE ring if you are leaving for anything, even to do the job. At this point, they usually don't do that. I think we all were really surprised.
I mean, yeah, you see where Luke Harper is right now. He's MIA for like a year. Because his contract's not up until next year.
Did he come back and work a live event recently?
No, there were
NXT thing, right? For a minute, he did an NXT match. I saw it was really good.
Yeah, before he tweeted that he wanted his release.
What's his name? The guy from NXT.
It was that Worlds Collide. Was it Worlds? Not Worlds Collide. It was that show over WrestleMania weekend that they do. Is someone in the chat? I remember the name. It's called Worlds Collide.
We just said the guy though earlier who wanted Taz's mission. Him. It was him versus.
Oh,
him.
Donovan Dijakovic.
I could have sworn it was him versus Harper, and they killed it together.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That was a really good match.
Yeah, but yeah, they put him on ice since he asked for his release on Twitter.
I'm confused by that.
Yeah, because the Revival haven't signed new contracts yet either. But they're
explain. So he went on Twitter. Harper and said, I want my release, WWE.
Yeah, he revealed that he asked for his release. It was the same thing that Ty Dillinger did. Okay. And Ty Dillinger actually got his release, but Ty had been working on it for a while. Luke asked for it that night. It wasn't granted. And not only that, after a while, they decided to tack more time onto his contract for the time he missed due to being out of action due to injury. So, yeah, so he's out for even longer, just sitting on the sidelines, not doing anything.
Why would you? Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't work anymore.
Why not bring him back? God forbid, do something with him. Get him energetic about being with the company again. That's how you sell the wrestler.
Yeah.
On staying. Wrestlers are marks. I'm sorry. You give them a minor push, they'll take that over money any day of the week. It's a sad state. No, I was. I much rather care about the paycheck and what food I get to put on the table for my family than I do about a push. But nowadays, it's not like that.
Oh, come on! If they would have said next year we're going to pay you $50,000 less than your downside, but you're going to go over Big Show repeatedly, just every night
for like mental, like psychiatric, like help. Yeah, it would be good.
Yeah, you know, you got to look at the big picture, man. So we got Shinsuke Nakamura versus Ali tonight, with Ali getting the win.
I thought this was holy crap, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy crap, this was good.
Yeah, it wasn't the longest match, but it was okay. It did exactly what it was supposed to do. Yeah, I agree with you, man. I thought this was the best thing on the show.
Yeah.
As far as the match goes. And he's AJ.
Yeah. You know, he's made me a fan. He really has. I wasn't a fan of his at first. I was like, what's the difference between this guy and all the other guys from, you know, 205 Live?
Yeah.
There's a big difference.
Yeah, Vince is – I know Ali has said in interviews that Vince has said that he feels like Ali's character has something that gets people ending up rooting for him. And I totally see that, yeah.
It's that it. It's a different kind of it factor, but it's something there that we can't – I can't explain it, but right. It's true.
Yeah.
Well, he's got that earnestness, that sincerity. I mean, in addition to being awesome in the ring, like those
sometimes
promos.
I think they're punks when I see that from them sometimes. Sometimes I go the opposite route. But what a wuss. Go be a choir boy. I don't want to watch exactly. You. Click.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This guy, when he does it, I buy it. I believe it. It makes me like him. Like, okay, how do you root against this guy? Come on. All right, come on, kid. Let's go. Come on. Start coming back. Come on. That's how it started for me when I started watching him.
Yeah,
actually, Matt, I think even more often than not, when they pull that earnest stuff, it makes you not want to root for them and root against them.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ali's one of the exceptions.
Yep.
We got Randy Orton's response.
So that's probably going to be at SummerSlam too, Ali and Nakamura for the title.
Cool. Yeah.
We got Randy Orton's response to Kofi Kingston in a video package narrated by Randy Orton. So he put something together, got in an editing bay, and told his side of the story.
It was cool though. It was I love the story that they're telling with this match. It's got real life, so it doesn't feel like the same phony stuff that they usually do. So I'm really digging this buildup.
Yep. Any elements of reality, you guys have heard this ad nauseum. Any reality sprinkles of reality you get, you know, the more we get sucked in, and that's what this has.
Yep.
We got New Day coming out for Kofi Kingston versus AJ Styles. AJ had the OC with him, and got to see Big E do the New Day's intro on camera tonight. A rare time they pulled that out. Yeah, what did you think of this match, Kofi versus AJ, with all the boys ringside?
Good.
It's, you know, I was kind of distracted because I'm like, wait, we're kind of running out of time, and they still got this Roman Reigns segment to go. Like, are they still, you know, so I'm like, are we wrapping this up, guys? So it took me out of the match.
That does happen sometimes with me watching these shows too. That's a good point though. They need to start thinking about that when they book these things out and write these things out, because you're right. You're tipping your hand.
Yeah. Right? I mean, you pretty much know when it's the last match on the show, when the finish is coming. You're like, all right, I can space out for the next 10 minutes in the last two is when I need to pay attention. But
I thought the Roman thing was going to be like an athlete announcing which school he was going to. He was going to come out in a hat with his opponent's name on it and just say their name and then walk off. You
know? Yeah. I hate this announcing your own opponent stuff, but that's a whole different topic.
Yeah. Yeah. Why are you so high on that? I don't get it.
Yeah. I did like that Kofi got the win here. The world title is higher than the US, you know, and that is a bigger match. So
makes sense. Mm-hmm.
This is good. We got some outside the ring action. The guys interfering with each other. But yeah, Kofi, Trouble in Paradise, got the win on AJ. And then from there, as they were celebrating, we went backstage. Caleb Braxton waiting for Roman Reigns to come make his SummerSlam challenge announcement. He was walking towards there, and then wouldn't you know it, right before he gets there, some scaffolding gets pushed over on him. Flip the camera angle to see the steel structure being tipped over onto him. Kel calls for help. The medics come out. Roman's all right. He gets up and it turns around, walks away. They go off the air with the mystery of who is Roman's opponent and who attacked him. Perhaps they are one and the same. And perhaps it's Daniel Bryan. Tune in next week to find out.
Okay, Daniel Bryan did not push it over. Let's just
Rowan.
Yeah. Let me ask you another question. What about Braun Strowman? Is there any possibility?
I don't see them turning him heel again after they've turned him so many times lately. But there's no, I mean, he has nothing right now. So
what's he up to? Nothing, right?
He was giving Maria Kanellis a dirty look.
Dirty in what context, Raj? Like Blue Chew dirty, or like he's mad at her dirty?
No, like he can't win the 24/7 title like he'd want that. That would be if he went to work and they're like, you're winning the 24/7 title tonight, I think he would be really concerned.
Yeah, I would be if I was in his shoes. Yeah.
Kiss of death.
Yeah. We shall see. What else is going on in the world of wrestling, Raj?
So yeah, with that last segment with Roman, I thought, you know, like we said at the very beginning, I thought it's good that they're doing mystery, they're doing a storyline. The angles all changing at that last minute just were very awkward, and it was just weird.
Yeah.
Physically, like the camera angle? What do you mean?
Remember the camera angle switched all over the place?
Because they wanted it to seem real. I mean, it was like the Lash Out of the Blair Witch Project, like with a camera on the ground.
Have an overhead camera. If you see real, it's the same camera shot, and all of a sudden it tips over. It's like, do you remember Halftime Heat with The Rock and Mankind? Yeah. And then Mankind's dropping the forklift on him, and all of a sudden the camera shoots to the forklift dropping on him. It was the goofiest camera angle. Yeah. And just completely, like, everyone that I was watching that with just started laughing.
Like with Shane and AJ backstage a few years ago, and they had the camera inside the car
to get
AJ ramming Shane's head through there. Yeah, it takes away the believability a little bit.
Right. So overall, I thought it was a pretty good episode of SmackDown, like a B-.
So let's put to rest the rumors. Accusations that were AEW marks, because AEW announced who Cody is facing on the first TNT show. Who could it be? Who is the big opponent? Sammy Guevara. Matt, are you excited?
You're shitting me.
Then they hyped up this announcement. They said, today at noon, we're announcing this.
That's who Cody's working?
Yeah, for the first episode of AEW.
Don't get me wrong. They've got a lot of, are they running weekly shows, correct?
Yeah,
sure. This is going.
Okay, so they've got a lot of oil to burn through. With that said, you still got to start with your biggest bangers. This is your first impression on television.
And so my thing is maybe that they're waiting until after All Out to announce the big matches on the show. Like, this is kind of a prelim thing. It's an announcement. You know, they got tickets going on.
Star. Is he like your second biggest star next to Jericho, right? Or what's his name?
Yeah, between him and Omega. Yeah.
Moxley.
Yeah, Moxley.
He's top five, but he's one of the biggest.
Right.
Three or four. I think he's bigger than Omega for now.
Yeah, I think mainstream-wise.
Tickets for AEW's first TV taping go on sale Friday. They announced this today to build up the excitement for that ticket on sale. And I'm just I'm scratching my head a little bit at why they chose this.
I agree. I still think they'll sell the crap out of it because AEW, all those fans that are fans of it are going to sell it out.
But if you're not,
and Sammy Guevara is awesome, but sure, he's just not a name yet.
Yeah, and the purpose of it, right, is to get him over, right, and get him on the same playing field as someone like Cody Rhodes. It's not going to take one match to do that, though. It's going to take 6 months of a good plot storyline and arc to get him there.
Right. It's kind of like how they gave that boost to Darby Allin.
But Darby Allin is deeper. He's got more layers to him without him having to be written storylines for because of his character, his look, his mystique, what his background is. We don't know anything about Sammy Guevara. He's annoying on their show is what he is.
He likes
not
pandas.
In a good way. Not in a good way.
Loves pandas.
Yeah. No, I think he's good. He's a natural heel.
He is, and he's super good in the ring. I'm not going to say he's not.
No, he's great. But the point of this is that they need to go beyond their base to sell out weekly TV.
And here is the one thing also, when you look at top guys, as far as mainstream names in AEW, we just named them, right? We got Moxley, Jericho, Omega, and Cody. And you can only mix those names so much right off the bat. They're going to have to, you know, deepen that roster quick as far as making some of these guys, moving these guys up quick, you know?
Yeah.
But
sign bigger names.
Yeah.
Just for those first few weeks, and then do whatever you want with those bigger name talents. Get your younger guys over through those bigger name talents,
right?
But even for AEW marks, rematch with Darby Allin, one-on-one match with Jungle Boy, one-on-one match with Luchasaurus.
Darby Allin, I would kill to watch that match again. I'd love to see that match up again. Yes.
That's what I'm saying. There's at least 10 different matches they could have announced.
Jungle Boy, I'd rather see.
Yeah, Sammy Guevara is number 11. In terms of the best Cody matchups. for AEW. And no disrespect to him, no disrespect to AEW, because we want them to succeed.
No, we got to call it down, you know.
Yeah.
We got to call things out for what they are. We're the biggest. We are. I am. I'll admittedly admit that. I love AEW. But I want to see it do good. And their first announcement on TNT is that.
Yeah.
First announced match. Why would they not go with Jericho? I'm sure Jericho or somebody is that going to be wrestling, like, you know?
Well, it depends on who's the champ coming out of All Out. I'm sure we'll determine who's defending that.
This is probably a stupid question, but why wouldn't they have that done on the actual first episode of the television show?
What's
the crowning of the champion?
Maybe they will.
Yeah, there could be.
Oh, you mean the actual match?
Yeah, I mean. Or do you just want to come in with this dude's our champion and you know what I mean? I don't know. Because that's a hell of a match not to have on their first episode.
Well, they are starting the tag team tournament, right? And maybe maybe they'll do the first title defense of whoever the champion is, you know, coming out of All Out. But I do see, like, they still need to get their special events, these pay-per-views, feeling like, you know, something special. Yeah.
Couldn't they have done the Young Bucks? Versus, I would have taken the Lucha Brothers again, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'd see it 25 times in a row.
Yeah. And we are a couple of months away. So I doubt, you know, that's the biggest match that's going to be on that show.
Oh, absolutely not. But no, they want.
It's not the biggest match.
Right. But they want to sell out. This is a pretty big venue they're running for that first show, right? In Washington, D.C.?
It's 14,000.
What is their purpose of being in Washington, D.C. first? Do we know?
I think the number of pay-per-view orders in that area were among the highest of the entire country. It's like D.C. and Baltimore.
Oh, hey, so, good job, AEW. Good.
Yeah, I mean, look, I hope it sells out. I hope they keep the momentum going. And, yeah, there will definitely be more matches that will get ratings that night. But if this is your pre-sellout announcement, I'm just saying it's a little underwhelming. I'm not flying to D.C. to go to that show in person based on that announcement.
Yeah, I would. I mean, my guess is that it'll sell out because it is the first one, and we've seen AEW overachieve with their special shows.
Hey, well, how many people does it fit?
14,000. It's a lot. The one thing is it's midweek. It's one thing if it's like a Friday or Saturday. True. It's a Wednesday, so that might hurt it a little. But I still think I don't know if it'll be an instant sellout like, you know, the last two pay per views have been. But I think by the time the show comes around, it'll be full.
When do tickets go on sale?
Friday.
This okay.
So I think that'll do good. But man, it's a tall order, you know, with the arenas they want to fill. They want to do these 6,000 to 10,000 seat arenas. I mean, they're clearly not going to sell out every week, obviously.
Right.
But they're going to WWE sized arenas, you know, it's like the kind of arenas that WWE plays to without much of a track record yet.
See, most fans don't realize WWE plays to those arenas. Especially on house shows. They don't realize that. They always think it's like, 20,000, 30,000. Like, nah.
No. No. Yeah. I mean, I think WWE averages, I forget in the last earnings report, it's like 4,000 a show or something like that, 4,000 or 5,000.
Oh, yeah. And have you seen some of the photos from the Monday Night SmackDown shows they've been doing?
Oh, my God. They should just drop those.
I've seen indie shows like they've had bigger crowds than that.
Yeah, the only thing is that because those guys are already on the road, it costs them more to like fly them home or, you know, then run another show, and that makes up for some of the costs for the travel expenses for all those guys being on the road since SmackDown tapes on Tuesday.
Yeah. What else is going on? Jerry Lawler is suing over his son's death. Raj, what are the details about that?
Yeah, he filed a wrongful death lawsuit against Hardeman County, Tennessee. His son passed away in prison. There were a lot of things that just didn't make sense, like that came out later, that made it very suspicious. So he feels like his son was found hanged in a jail cell, and the official cause of death was ruled a suicide. The family disputes it. Lawler says there were numerous failures of the county and its employees that resulted in the wrongful death of his son, and he wants the jail to do more to protect inmates from future harm. So he's seeking $3 million in compensatory damages as well as punitive damages in an amount that'll be determined by a jury. So, yeah.
No, it's a sad situation. I hope he's able to make some headway with this.
Yeah.
What else do we got? What else is in the news?
Raw, way down from last week. I mean, everyone expected that it was going to drop from the Raw reunion, but it drew the lowest number it has in weeks. The lowest number since the Paul Heyman era. 2.321 million viewers, down 25% from last week. So they gained nothing from that show last week. We talked about this last week. They didn't do any big angles. They didn't get the young talent over. And boom, you're back to not only where you were, but a little bit lower. So it was a big wasted opportunity.
How come nobody asked them these questions? Like when Hunter does a phone blitz or anybody, any of these meetings that you guys call into and interview them on, why don't you guys ask them? Say, hey, when these big shows come, why do you not feature your young talent to get people to put that hook in the water and make them come back the following week when these Stone Colds come on your show?
Well, the earnings calls, it's all investors. And yeah, they never do ask that. With Triple H on the calls we were on with them, they always say, make sure it's only about NXT or the Performance Center.
You need to go rogue. Let me come on. I'll go rogue. You're like, I don't know, Matt Morgan guy. I don't know what he's doing.
Right.
I wasn't invited. I apologize. This is Roger. I got a serious right. question. NXT is the best thing ever.
I don't know, man. But hey, Seth Rollins was in a segment with DX. The OC was in that same segment. Right. Didn't that make people want to tune the next week to see the guys that they said suck it to? I mean, come
right. on. Right. And Steve Austin came across as just so much more charismatic than anyone else, like on this current roster by like 1,000 miles.
Yes. Yes.
That's always a danger with having Steve Austin, Hogan. Like when people say they should bring Hogan as a GM, he's just going to just drown out everybody else. He's just got too much natural charisma.
He did that to TNA. He did it to us. You know?
Right. Ric Flair, same thing. You don't want them outshining your current guys.
Well, the sad thing is, I'm sorry.
Younger guys step the F up.
Right.
Take some pride and go F it. I'm going balls to the wall and I'm going to outperform him tonight. Yep. You guys are laughing, but watch. I'm going to go do it. You know, whatever. You need to have that attitude.
Yeah. They or have someone beat down Steve Austin. No one has seen that in like a decade, like someone beating down Austin.
Who? Yeah. Has anybody ever actually done it?
I can't remember the last time because he's always the one delivering the stunners and you know.
Owen should have done it. You're like, I'm taking your finisher.
This is how it's done.
That would have been cool. You would think it would have been Brock, like back in Brock's heyday. Nope.
No.
Soko said no.
Yeah. And the weird thing is we did get the segment that was pretty cool with the Fiend attacking Mick Foley last Monday. Did zero. And well, the Fiend wasn't even on last night, but
it's a spot, not an angle, right? It's not making you tune into the next week. It's
just wasn't bloody. That's another thing. They'd have to get the guy, in my opinion, if you're a whip Stone Cold, he needs to get bloody. Yeah. He needs to be a bloody pulp.
Did we get a Firefly Funhouse last week? We just got the Fiend appearing, right? We didn't get the segment.
Yeah.
See, I think the Firefly Funhouse would have brought people back to see it in context.
They've had the Firefly Funhouse for months. It's fun for fans, but you need a big angle with some top guys that
the Attitude fans watching that would not get it the way, in my opinion, that we like it. I just don't think they would. Somebody beating Stone Cold's ass, that's a different story.
Yeah.
They can relate to that. That translates to them.
Yeah. Remember back in the day how they'd always have people getting hit by cars and running off?
but like, think about it this way. We always used a Rock and Stone Cold barometer with these two guys. Would they do this with these two guys, right, guys? Well, think about it. If they brought – and I've said this before. If they brought in legends back in the Attitude era, dude, come on. They would smoke those legends in every way, shape, or form. Stone Cold wasn't left laying or outperformed by Classy Freddie Blassie or Sergeant Slaughter. Are you kidding me? DX made a great damn near DVD of comedy at Sergeant Slaughter's behalf.
They're not going to have Stone Cold team with the Midnight Express.
Using their lines. And no way. Right.
That's true. Even the Boogeyman didn't get beat up last week. I mean,
no.
Like, there should be a list. Like, legends, I mean, you could probably rank it, right? It's like Mick Foley, thankfully, put over The Fiend. But it's a very select group of current legends that are, you know, used in that capacity.
And that's not their, that's not their fault. So Scott Hall, yeah, Scott Hall was on Sean Waltman's podcast, and when he saw the script, he was like, isn't this kind of burying the club? And they protested and they got turned down. So WWE wanted to stick with the way it was written, with the club, you know, being chased off by DX and the NWO. That was a WWE decision. It's not the legends demanding that if they show up, they want to look strong.
When did this become their new formula? Like this has been the tried and true formula of all time with pro wrestling. You get these guys over, they become huge stars, household names. They make you money for years, Vince. And then eventually the Ultimate Warrior pins Hulk Hogan, right?
Right.
That's the formula.
And then eventually you have Brock just laying over Hogan with his blood all over him. Remember that? And you know, you take it to that level.
Great use of Hogan there, right? Okay, so why are they not doing that?
I think Vince just does not see these guys on that level. I honestly don't.
That's your job to get them there. They can't write themselves on that. Hey, Stone Cold, I'm almost supposed to say suck it tonight at the end of the show, but guess what? I'm going to come crash your beer party instead. I'm going to kick you in the nuts. I'm going to DDT you. I want you to gig. And then get on the mic and profess me as the greatest wrestler of all time. Is Seth Rollins supposed to go and say that to him? Like, come on. He can't write that for himself.
Yeah.
So, Matt, when you go to SmackDown Reunion in the fall, who do you want to put over in a segment?
Rogue.
You're going Rogue and you have someone kick your ass. Or you're going to get your Hogan and just flip the script and beat up Hulk Hogan and be like, I'm back, bitches. Yeah. You know?
I just hope that with SmackDown 1000 or whatever, you know, the 10-year that they do on Fox, they don't waste this opportunity again, because this is a national audience that's going to be tuning in. And if they just see the old guys as superstars, you're not converting any of them. And this is going to be a blown opportunity on Fox. So
I hope exactly what you just said happens. I hope they actually see this as, I mean, they've done this years past though, right? They've done this formally. They bring these guys in, they don't get them over. So I hope they do see it now, I'm hoping.
I hope so too. But they have, history shows that they won't.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be an interesting fall. So, do we have anything else to cover?
I think that's it.
Cool. Matt Morgan, you got nothing to plug.
I put my Twitter and Instagram address on here tonight. How about that, folks?
There you go.
There you go. Raj, what's coming up on the website?
Just the usual.
lots and lots of interviews.
Lots of interviews.
Backstage breaking news by the minute.
It's hard. Yeah, it's hard to keep track. I know we got Chavo Guerrero, Awesome Kong. There was who was today? Jesus, it's just been so many.
All the true stories, not rumors, but actual true stories.
There you go.
What's happening?
Just have Matt do the plugs.
There you go. I'm Glenn Rubenstein. You can find me on Twitter at Glenn Rubenstein. Now, minor programming note, I will not be here next week, Monday or Tuesday. I will, however, be back for NXT TakeOver and SummerSlam, and then I will be gone the following Monday and Tuesday. But who's filling in for me, Raj? Do you know yet?
Well, Tuesdays I'll be doing it, and Mondays not positive yet.
Okay.
Might just be the two of us.
Admit it, you're watching Bernie behind you, aren't you, right now, Glenn?
I can't wait for these primaries to be over.
I can't wait for this election to be over.
Yeah, I'm not even going to pay attention.
It's going to be an ugly year.
Candidate, you know, I don't know how to pick them in the primaries. I volunteered for the John Edwards campaign, gave a lot of money to that guy. That was my pick in 2004 and 2008. So I don't get involved at this stage. Anyhow, I'm Glenn Rubenstein. You can find me on Twitter at Glenn Rubenstein, and appreciate a follow there. And we'll catch you back here next time on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
Glenn loves AOZ.
Glenn, you got to hit
end. Oh, I have to hit end.
Yeah, I don't have those controls.
And
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.